This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk. Well, so much for a good Super Bowl, huh?
Man,
if you were like me, and you don't give a damn about any of the hoopla, and you just care about the football, and you're not an Eagles fan.
Checked out early.
Or you didn't make a lot of money betting the Eagles. Boy, that sucked.
Shout out DeAndre Hopkins. Garbage time, anytime touchdown score at 5-1. Helped me out quite a bit.
I got the same lifeline.
Let's go, Roost.
I mean, of course, I don't know about you, Mad Max. I mean, with your fat new contract from the Toronto Blue Jays and the fact that you still get paid by the Texas Rangers, the New York Mets, the Washington Nationals, and the LA Dodgers, maybe. I don't know. You get so many paychecks, you don't even know what to do with. You probably had more than the $1 that I had on a DeAndre Hopkins anytime touchdown.
Just a little bit more.
We're going to spend a segment later on detailing how many ridiculous $1 bets I made.
I'm so ready for this.
And how many I lost. But I did win a few. And ultimately, I think I maybe came out like -$3.
That's pretty good.
You know, out of all of this.
It's not bad.
Maybe. I have to officially count it out. I counted it up at about 4:30 in the morning in bed this morning. So my eyes may have been bugging out. But that DeAndre Hopkins anytime touchdown, I forgot I put that. I forgot I got that in there. And yet it helped level the playing field a little bit.
That it did.
Yeah, we'll spend some time going over bets and wacky stuff like that from Super Bowl 59. Good afternoon, everybody. You hear Mad Max back with us on the other side of the glass. I am merely the rooster, cock-a-doodle-doo, Chris Russell, with you. Flying solo today. We'll see what the rest of the week drags in with the weather and all that stuff. Just heard Doug Kammerer from NBC4. Do you know that I don't know if I ever had met Doug Kammerer. Maybe we were in the same like event at one point. I can't remember, and I just never met him, or I don't remember meeting him. But I finally met him at Tailgate Ted. He had this pep rally at Hard Rock Cafe in Philadelphia right before the NFC Championship game, and Doug Kammerer and J.P. Finley we're broadcasting live on NBC4 from the event. So I finally got to meet, officially, that I remember, Doug Kammerer. I'm not a big weather guy. I kind of just like, I know it's coming, and I just kind of hope that it's not going to be as bad. I mean, old Kev, I heard Coach Sheehan, he was getting a little, how do I say this safely on the radio? He was getting a little...
He's looking at models.
He was looking at models, not the kind of models that...
not the fun kind.
That I would look at. You started it, Max.
You're right,
me.
I did.
Coach Scott was getting a little excited with the Euro models. Not
as we all are known to
do. Yeah, again, not the Euro models that most of us care about. But he was getting a little excited about that. And Cameron was like predicting, hey, man, like tomorrow, just an appetizer for what's to come next week.
God, I hope not.
What's to come next week. I think the dates were like the 20th or the 21st or something like that. Oh, winter, get out of here.
Spring, please. Punxsutawney Phil, how could you do this to me?
That's true. Punxsutawney Phil did see a shadow, huh?
It's a shame.
He also got to see a bad, bad, bad football game, or a one-sided football game. Last night, listen, we're not going to spend a ton of time breaking things down. I think everybody understands and knows what happened last night and the reasons for it. You know, there are ancillary things that we will talk about off of it. But the bottom line is, you know, we didn't even get a chance. Max, was I telling you this? Yeah, I was telling you this before the show. We didn't even get a chance to have those early controversial calls. The one on A.J. Brown, pass interference, offensive pass interference, on the fourth down completion, up the right sideline, or I guess it would be the far sideline, maybe not the right sideline, but you get the point. That would have put Philadelphia in great scoring position. We didn't even get to really savor that. We didn't get to talk about the Trent McDuffie going high to the head of, I think it was A.J. Brown as well.
I think it was Dallas Goedert.
Oh, maybe it was Dallas Goedert. That's what it was. On an incomplete, we didn't even get to really get into the late hit on 2nd and 26, and it was clearly late, by the Kansas City linebacker on Saquon Barkley. Those three were, like, circled in my notes as, oh, hey, this will give us something interesting. Nick Bolton was the linebacker. Couldn't think of his name. He had the fumble recovery and the touchdown in the last Super Bowl between the two that was ultimately the decider. We don't even get to talk about those, really. I mean, I guess we could. But they were controversial, gray area enough where I thought for sure everybody was going to be bitching and screaming over those three calls. And two went against Kansas City, one went against Philadelphia, which, you know, of course, partially, I guess mostly, led to DeAndre Hopkins in the postgame basically saying that there were some iffy calls, and I hope you guys are paying attention to that too. Oh, yeah, we're paying attention. We're paying attention. I mean, a lot of people were upset about the A.J. Brown call on the fourth down completion that went against Philadelphia, not for it went for Kansas City, not against Kansas City. It went for Kansas City and against Philadelphia. I thought it was a good call. Listen, you are jockeying for position. You are shoving at the face mask. A.J. Brown clearly twice engaged and pushed off and created separation with his hand to the face mask. I have literally no idea, zero idea what Tom Brady was talking about. And I'm as big of a Tom Brady fan as you're going to get. Tom Brady was not seeing anything last night. And that's not just because I disagreed with him. It's just, like, Tom, if you were the quarterback and you were on the field, you'd be bitching and screaming and whining and crying like nobody's business about those calls or non-calls. But all of a sudden, Tom Brady's making $37 million a year in the booth, in the nice, cushy booth where he doesn't have any pressure on him. And Tom Brady doesn't see anything. I got a tweet from Wook Hunter. Wook Hunter. A couple of hours ago. in regards to my tweet from last night, tweets. As someone who dislikes both teams equally and wasn't rooting for either of them, I'm fine with that penalty. Everybody says no big deal, and this was in reference to the A.J. Brown penalty. I should have qualified that. He said, when you're on a dead sprint trying to cover an elite wide receiver, of course, two little stiff arm pushes to the face are going to throw you off, which is what happened to the Kansas City corner. I said immediately after, before we got the Tom Brady explanation coming back for the break, I said, had no problem with the penalty on A.J. Brown. You can't push off the face mask. To which I got a lot of blowback, surprise, surprise, on X, on Twix, whatever. B.E. Sorensen said, you're incorrect. Have a good night. Laugh out loud. Okay. Have a good night. Somebody said they better call it when the Chiefs do it. And, of course, that was what everybody was thinking, right? Immediately in the aftermath, people were like, oh, my God, here we go again. The Kansas City Chiefs are getting it cooked for them, and they're going to win the Super Bowl by pulling another rabbit out of their hat. Did you think that in the moment, Max?
The thought crossed my mind, yes.
I thought, oh, here we go, another controversial call that's going to ruin the flow of the game and the context of the game, and it's going to be a close game one way or the other, and people are going to only want to talk about that. Instead, I'm leading off my show with something that nobody now cares about, right? But I care about it because I care about different things than everyone else. But in the moment, I didn't necessarily go, oh, here we go again. They're cooking the game for Kansas City, because I don't buy that nonsense at all.
Mm-hmm.
I firmly believe NFL officiating is incompetent.
Yes.
I firmly believe that the league is dumber than a box of rocks. I firmly believe the competition committee has way too many stiff cocktails when they go to vote on this stuff. I firmly believe that there are things wrong with officiating and the system and rules and reviews and replay assist, how we have this replay assist system that never seems to be able to help when something is clear and obvious. I have no idea. But honestly, in the moment, I was just thinking, good call, bad call. Oh, wow, fourth down, like that's a huge swing. I was not thinking, here they go again, the officiating coming out and cooking a game for the Chiefs. And remember how ridiculous it got during the week that the officials union or whatever had to come out and the NFL had to come out and basically like be like, are you serious? Like all of these accusations and what? Now, listen, anybody can make a statement. I got it. Just because you make a statement saying, oh, I didn't do it. It's like the murderer that says, me? What are you talking about? I don't have any blood on my hands. What? That must be cranberry juice. You know? So I wasn't thinking that in the moment. I was just thinking in the moment, what a huge call. But it was the right call.
Mm-hmm.
It was the right call. The next drive, again, Kansas City gets a somewhat controversial, and you're right, it was Goddard, gets a somewhat controversial call against them. And again, like everybody, and when I say everybody, because Doc always makes me clarify, not everybody, but a lot of people were up in arms based on what I could see on social media, right? Because I'm monitoring social media to see how people respond. That's how I kind of have to watch football, right? I have to see what people are pissed off about, what I may have missed, you know, because you don't see everything, even with TV and close-up replays and whatever. The first one, again, on A.J. Brown offense, fourth and two, that wipes out a fourth and two catch. I mean, it was a catch, right? For 32 yards, it wipes it out. But immediately, as soon as they threw the flag, I said to who I was watching to with Aaron, I said immediate offensive pass interference. I said it immediately. So I felt good about that, and then I felt really good about it when they. You know, when they showed the close-up. Then on the next drive, right after Mahomes and Kansas City go three and out, and Mahomes is under heavy. Actually, they didn't go three and out. I'm sorry. They completed their first pass of the night. People forget this, to Juju Smith-Schuster for 11 yards. And then they went, and Mahomes was running around like a lunatic under all sorts of pressure. And we know now the Eagles didn't blitz and sacked him six times and so on and so forth. Then the Eagles come back out on the field, right, after the three-down stop, if you will, after they gave up the initial first down. And the Eagles pick up a big 20-yard gain to Goddard, right, and thought he would be a factor in the game. And he was not a huge factor, but thought he would be a factor. But he was a factor for sure on this series because the 20-yard gain there on second and eight, followed by on third and five, and you're right, to Goddard, jump ball, kind of high points it. Trent McDuffie goes in, gets called for a UNR penalty, 15 yards. Again, he's going to the head. It's a non-catch, and even if it was a catch, it would. You cannot basically lunge, leap, spear, whatever you want to call it, into somebody's head and neck area. You can't do it. You can't do it. I know it's a hard thing to control yourself. You can't do it. I don't know what else to say other than you can't do it, but you can't do it. Okay? I understand boys will be boys. I understand. I saw all sorts of our colleagues, Earl Forsey, D-Day, getting all upset that the boys will be boys and let the boys play and all this stuff. And I saw Twitterati all over the place. Oh, BS, blah, 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 blah. Again, I'm not telling you that I love the call. I'm telling you by the way the books are and the way they've been calling stuff for years and years and years and player protection, you have to make that call. And it extends a drive on third and five that would have been incomplete by the Eagles. And just a couple of plays later, what happens? Jalen Hurts once again goes down the far sideline. Now, it's three times. The one to Goddard, which wasn't as much on the sideline, but the one to A.J. Brown on the fourth down, the one to Goddard, and now the one to Jahan Dotson.
I screamed when I realized who it was. I said, "Oh no. Is he really gonna and then the arms went up and I almost did a flip.
If he would have scored, if he would have been actually given credit for the touchdown, which it was the right call to overturn it. I mean, he was short, what have you. You know, of course, I always like to point out facts on Twitter, right? For no other reason other than facts. And I would have said, hey, remember when he was traded to the Philadelphia Eagles by the Washington Commanders in August? Now, that being said, okay, I must tell you, I had no problem with Jahan Dotson getting traded. I knew he wasn't a fit immediately in this program in this system when we got started in training camp in late July. I could see it all over their faces. I could see it in the way they were teaching him. I could see it. I could see it at practice. I talked to people. And as soon as he blew another block in Miami in the second preseason game, I said, I don't know if we're ever going to see Jahan Dotson again. And 2 days later, he was traded. Now, did I think they were going to trade him to the Eagles? No. Okay, but they ultimately did, and he comes up with this big catch, and even though the touchdown gets taken away, he's ruled down at the one-yard line for 27 yards. So good on Jahan, right? And he had another catch as well. So good on him for making a contribution. Remember, he scored the first touchdown for the Eagles in the playoffs against the Packers after that controversial kickoff fumble recovery, what have you. I mean, the Eagles lived with some fortune and some good breaks as well. Okay, and ultimately then the tush push goes in and Chris Jones right away is all sore in the neck and what. And it was almost like a really, really, really bad omen, not from the actual start, but the first three series gave you a lot and showed you a lot and ultimately led to a lot. And ultimately it led to, and I'm jumping way ahead here, to a 40-22 Eagles blowout win. And listen, make no mistake about it. 40-22 is, I mean, that's misleading. That really is. Because, again, everybody that was still watching the game, which I would assume was most, understood with 8 minutes left to go in the fourth quarter, it was 40-6 after the Jake Elliott field goal, in which they kept committing penalty after penalty on and kept backing them up. And Jake Elliott, who I've been hard on all year, actually made a couple of big kicks and made it 37-6 and then 40-6 with 8:01 left to go in the game, right? And then DeAndre Hopkins, and then Xavier Worthy with back-to-back touchdowns, and ultimately 16 points added to the fray for the Kansas City Chiefs in what was a 40-6 game. So make no mistake about it. It was not a close game. If you just look at the box score and you say, wow, 40-22, not that big of a blowout, even though 18 points is a blowout. It was even worse. If you could imagine, it was even worse for the Kansas City Chiefs. All right, your thoughts on Super Bowl 59. Obviously, we'll dial in and we'll dial down. If you want to bitch about the officiating from the jump, because that's really the only polarizing thing, right? I mean, there's some more that we'll get into here, but that's really it. Again, the game was 40-6. With 3.5 minutes left to go in the game. 40-6. We don't get those kind of blowouts that we used to get when I was a young buck. Now we do, or last night we did. And again, the score closer than the game would indicate. 40-6 late in the fourth quarter. Two late touchdowns by the Chiefs for window dressing, plus the two-point conversions. Mad Max is with us. Be nice to him on the phones, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Be nice to me on the phones, because I'm just telling you what I see, man. You don't have to like it. We're going to get into the halftime show. We're going to get into the commercials, or lightly. We're going to get into Terry Bradshaw and Fox. We're going to get into Tom Brady. We're going to get into all of it. And how close are the Commanders? We'll try and answer that coming up shortly on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Still a little Motown Monday flavor for you, as Motown Philly is back. Yeah, listen, we're going to have to put on our big boy pants here. Max, I already saw you shaking your head, annoyed.
I know.
You're allowed. We're going to have to put on our big boy pants here and just suck it up and just say, hey, listen, man, hate the obnoxious part of the Eagles fan base, and I watched a bunch of videos this morning.
I posted
one of them. I mean, these maniacs are literally, again, all of these people that were out. Now, that is not all Eagles fans. Let me be clear, as I've constantly been. Not all Eagles fans. But the ones that were out last night on Broad Street and whatever, where I just was 2 weeks ago, burning down a truck, a linen truck, starting a big bonfire, riot police, all sorts of things going on, people punching other. I put up one video. I was tempted to put up more, but I didn't want to, overdo it. Oversaturate the idiocy of America even more. But the bottom line is, you don't have to be happy for them. You don't have to be happy for them. But we have to be grown-up adults.
It's true.
And acknowledge, right? We start every day with Roman Reigns saying, Washington, D.C., acknowledge me. Well, we have to acknowledge that the Philadelphia Eagles not only were the way better team last night, but they were the better team. I don't believe way better. They were the better team 2 weeks ago in the NFC Championship game. They were the way better team last night. Listen to what I'm saying here. Mm-hmm. The way better team last night, the better team 2 weeks ago, and they were the best team all year long, period.
Yeah, for sure.
And just because you don't finish with the one seed or the bye or whatever does not mean you aren't the best team overall. And that was proven time and time and time and time again. As a matter of fact, the only time the Eagles lost after, a 2-2 start, and they nearly lost to Cleveland at home when Sirianni was screaming at the fans. I think that was week 5, maybe week 6, whatever it was. It was like right after the Commanders destroyed the Browns.
Yeah.
So everybody in Philadelphia was like just on fire wouldn't be a good way to describe it. But
wouldn't be too far off.
Was fired up, let's put it that way, because they only beat the Browns 20-16, and Sirianni was screaming at the fans, whatever.
You're dead on. I'm impressed.
Yeah, there you go. But the only team to beat the Eagles from that point on was
the Washington Commanders.
And the Commanders beat them by turning the ball over 6 times.
Yeah.
Think about that. The Commanders, at several points in that game, early and late, were very much in danger of saying bye to that game as well. And the Eagles could have won that one as well. And they came in riding a 10-game winning streak and then obviously lost that game ultimately, and how they lost that game will live in history. And then they won their final couple of regular season games, no big deal, whatever, with Pickett and whatever. And then Jalen Hurts comes back for the playoffs, and they immediately stomp all over Green Bay, and they struggle to get through the Rams and to put them away. A couple of big play explosives from Saquon. Jalen Hurts, don't forget, had a 44-yard touchdown run early in that game, then got hurt, right? We didn't know how good he was going to be for the conference championship game. Turns out he arguably played, I don't know, maybe his best game of his life that day, but I don't know. It's so hard because he played really, really, really good in the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, and he played good last night. He wasn't great last night. He didn't have to be great last night.
He's good enough to win Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, right. But that was kind of like
a quarterback award.
Yeah, exactly. That was kind of like a everybody kicked ass and ate lunch.
Yeah,
and then spat it out and rehad it for dinner. you know, on the defense. So who are we going to give it to? Well, we can't give it to Milton Williams.
Right.
Right. I mean, like Josh Sweat was great. No offense to Josh Sweat. We can't give it to Josh Sweat. It was like when Peyton Manning won his first Super Bowl with the Colts.
Mm-hmm.
Or his first Super Bowl ever, after years and years and years of being a playoff dog, they finally figured out, oh, you know, might want to run the football and actually play some defense. He shouldn't have won the MVP that night in the Super Bowl against the Bears. He did because there was like, they weren't going to give it to Dominic Rhodes.
Right.
They weren't going to give it to Robert Mathis.
Yeah.
You know, they just weren't. Okay, so anyway, the point being is they gave it to Jalen Hurts, who played well. But it's not like Jalen Hurts played better in the NFC Championship game.
That he did.
And Jalen Hurts played better in the Super Bowl they lost than he did last night, because he didn't have to. I mean, I said at one point, like, it was 28-3 or what? Was it 28-3? No, I'm sorry, it was 27-0. I said, it's 27-0. And it doesn't even feel like the Eagles have broken a sweat on offense. Like, they haven't had to do anything.
Yeah,
I mean, they made a couple of plays, but the tush push after the Jahan catch, A.J. Brown on a little pick rub to break it open, that made it 24-0. Cooper DeJean obviously scored on the interception return for the pick six, so that didn't come on offense. They had a couple of Jake Elliott field goals, and until they hit the bomb over the top on the deep post for 46 to Devontae Smith, they really didn't have to do anything. And Jalen Hurts finished 17 of 22, 221, two touchdowns, a terrible pick. Had 11 for 72 and a touchdown, which, again, you know, I got to admit, I kind of lost track of. I mean, I knew he had the touchdown. I didn't realize he had 72 yards scrambling. But
oh, he was running free a lot.
Yeah, the point is, I mean, he deserved it, but it's not, I guess it's not like I viewed Jalen Hurts' performance as one for the ages.
Yeah, no, for sure.
If you want to talk about a playoff MVP like they do in hockey, like a Conn Smythe MVP, then totally understand that.
Yeah.
But last night, really, that was about the defense. We'll get into the defense in just a couple of moments. We'll get to your calls as well. We're way late for a trending alert. We'll do that right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Ah, the great Stevie Wonder. This is the kind of music I like. I know the kind of music a lot of you guys like is what went on at halftime. It's a big no for me, dog. Not my style. I was out. I was doing dishes. As I said I would be. I miss Serena Williams dancing. I've seen it 1,000 times on Twitter, so I didn't miss anything. I missed, apparently, the protester that I just told you about who's not going to face charges.
Yeah, I didn't know about that until, well, like, I was laying in bed and
yeah.
I saw the video. I was like,
yeah,
oh.
I didn't see it during the halftime. Again, I was in and out of the halftime. I
was locked in.
Look, were you?
Oh, yes.
Are you a big Kendrick Lamar guy? Big Howie Kendrick guy. I'm not a big Kendrick Lamar guy.
Not a big Kendrick guy. I'm a big fan of Real Hate. And that's what we got to witness last night during the Super Bowl.
All right, back up. Real Hate is a song?
No. Just real hatred.
Towards
Drake, yes.
Yes. So help me out here, okay?
Because
this is how little I know about Kendrick Lamar.
White Boy explains Kendrick Lamar beef to his old white co-host.
Why? I know the whole A minor thing.
Yes.
I think that's actually pretty funny.
It was great.
And I there's something about how, like, they set that build up and then hit that note.
Oh, yeah. He teased
and
it. It was great.
And just, you know, like, I don't know. It just makes it extra funny. And I've seen a couple of other people impersonate it, and they've done a pretty good job of it as well. So that's the only thing, the only notable thing for me was Serena Williams, I guess, being there, and I guess Samuel L. Jackson in an Uncle Sam hat, a costume or whatever, I guess was, you know, kind of notable. But I don't know why Kendrick Lamar hates Nelly. No, not Nelly.
Drake.
Why is that?
So
I thought Drake was a fairly decent guy, no?
So that's the thing. Like, over the summer, they kind of, like, started jabbing at each other, and then Kendrick put out a verse on a song on another album with a different artist, all very closely, like, affiliated with Drake. It was basically coming out against Drake. Like, he's a snake, this and that, like, just kind of, like, conniving against conspiring against other artists in the industry,
mm-hmm.
or using them in order to, like, raise his platform.
Now, Drake is not involved in any of the bad stuff, right? Is he
not proven to be? But it is those rumors do get circulated okay. Every now and again.
But they're rumors at this point,
yes.
Not actual charges.
Correct.
Or anything like that.
Correct.
Right?
He has not been arrested in any type of fashion.
I always, again, the little I know about Drake, I always thought he seemed to not be a troublemaker. But again, when you have that kind of power and
in
that
silence,
kind of, you know, whatever. I mean, you could do a lot of things if you want to, right?
Yeah.
And if you're tempted to. So this whole thing. So when they do the A minor, you know, like,
they're basically
I mean, it's Kendrick Lamar is basically kind of hinting at
yes.
that Drake has
may or may not have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, correct.
And then I found out this morning by watching what show was it? I guess it was Cold Pizza, First Take.
Sure.
Yeah, that. that Serena Williams and Drake used to date?
At
is
some
that right?
Point, yes, at some point those rumors did go around. And, like, Drake was, like, seen at events that, or, like, seen at tennis events that, I mean, like, Drake would never go to a tennis event, you know, otherwise.
He is a, like, I've seen him at plenty of Toronto Raptors games.
He's a big gambler and sports fan. But, yeah, him and Serena used to...
He was just showing up
and,
like,
talk,
you know,
to each other.
Mm. He was showing up in, like, Cincinnati in the middle of August.
Exactly.
Not exactly breakfast at Wimbledon. He was having maybe dinner in Cincinnati.
Yeah, it's at Serena Williams, like, hotel room or something like that. But, yeah, so she came out and crip walked on his grave, which is crazy. A lot of people were very pleased with that. I know Denton was as well.
Yes.
So it was.
Denton is like you want to talk about, like, white guy trying to explain to old white guy, you know, whatever. Denton is down. I mean, we should have gotten our
I should have went to
music insider here, because Denton loves Kendrick Lamar.
Oh yeah, he's a big fan of
the beef. Kendrick Lamar.
Big fan of the beef is Denton.
Yeah. I don't know much about, I know the one song, that's about it. It's not for me. I mean, I admit I'm old. I love Stevie Wonder. I love the Jackson 5. I love Motown music. I love, all sorts of different types of music. I'm not into, you know, I like old school kind of rap music or
the Danny Ruye style.
Well,
rap.
I mean, like, the couple of years ago, we got Snoop Dogg and Dr. Dre, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that was the one in Los Angeles.
Correct. Yes.
I mean, that was cool.
It was a good one.
That was good. Like, I like that.
I forgot we had Usher last year, which was
Usher, I was...
out of left field.
It's 2 years in a row where it's been a giant kind of like, okay, they're really not going after you, dude.
I'm not in the target audience on this one.
And nor should they, and I get it, but it doesn't mean I have to like it. People got mad at me, you know, when I put out a tweet before the game. I was like, I really hope the game is great because I don't care about any of the pregame.
Yeah, I don't care about any of the
fanfare. I don't care about the halftime. Yeah. I don't care about the commercials. I don't care about any of that stuff. And people got mad at me. Arr, old man yelling at the cloud. And I even did like one of those stupid GIFs, like, you know, where the guys like, you know, yelling just to cut everybody off, get off my lawn, you know, that. And still people came after me and still people were mad at me because I had the audacity to say I didn't care about any of the pregame or the halftime or the commercials. And I just wanted to watch a good football game. I know that's un-American. I know that's not allowed to actually, watch the main course, care more about the main course than the appetizers. Got it? All right, if you want to weigh in on the halftime show or whatever, we'll get into some of the commercials a little bit later on, or the game or what have you. Let's do so. I'll tell you what. Kevin, hang on. I will get to you right away. I just don't want to completely kill the break here. Let me do this. Tell you guys about how you can win a big trip to Sin City. That's right. Are you ready to win big and live it up in Sin City? It's the Slam Dunk in Vegas on the Team 980. Listen for your chance to win a flyaway trip to Las Vegas with three friends and $20,000 in spending money for the first two rounds of the college basketball tournament. You'll stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premier sports viewing destination, and visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. Winning is easy. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, and listen to the Team 980 for a chance to win the experience of a lifetime. Listen each day for an hour to earn your daily entry. This is a national contest. More details available at odyssey.com/slamdunk. We'll get out to your calls next on the Team 980, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. As we approach 2 o'clock on the Team 980, always live and free on the Odyssey app. All right, we continue to rock towards 2 o'clock. What the hell do we talk about for the next 6 months Monday? Now, I mean, obviously, we'll still talk a lot of football. With free agency, the draft, the offseason, the schedule, all that stuff. By the way, a lot of people thought if Kansas City won, the Commanders were going to open up on that Thursday night at Arrowhead. They still might open up in Kansas City. But in all likelihood, it would be, I mean, it won't be on that Thursday night. It would be on that Sunday night of week one. Because that's usually what they do, is they put the Super Bowl loser in that Sunday night slot, right?
You don't think they'll be at the link that early in the season?
The NFL usually likes to save the divisional games for later in the year. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking no. I'm thinking perhaps Detroit in Philadelphia to open up the year.
Yeah, I could see that for sure.
Even though that's a conference game. I mean, obviously, like last year, Kansas City and San Francisco, you know, it could be the Sunday night or the Monday night. I shouldn't say it's always that Sunday night because San Francisco lost the Super Bowl the year before. San Francisco opened up against the Jets on a Monday night this past year. And obviously their season did not work out. But the point being is I shouldn't just say the Sunday night. It could be the Sunday night or the Monday night. But there's a chance, a fairly good chance, that I still think that the Commanders could open up in Kansas City, just not on that Thursday night, the official open of the season, and instead maybe that Sunday night or Monday night. We will see. We'll get to all of that. Let's get a call in here before the top of the hour on anything you want to talk about. One thing we have not gotten into just yet is how awesome the exactly awesome the Philadelphia Eagles defense is. We've kind of touched on it a little bit, but everybody knows it was a dominant performance, and a lot of it was because of Josh Sweat, who Kevin in Virginia wants to talk about, who we talked about last week on the show. Kev, go right ahead.
I don't understand. Thanks for the call, but taking my call. I don't understand why you think Sweat shouldn't have gotten MVP. The defense won that game for them. And they always give the MVP to the winning quarterback. I mean, don't they have any guts? I mean, maybe Sweat was in the backfield every play almost.
I agree with you. Let me just clarify. I it's not that I don't think he deserved it. They weren't going to give it to him. That's the point.
I don't understand that.
I mean, all you need to know is the media doesn't value good football. They value what's sexy and quarterbacks. And again, the example I gave you. Well, again, it's a long ago example, but the example I gave you was when Peyton Manning first won his Super Bowl, right? I mean, everybody but Peyton Manning was the star of the show, and he still won the Super Bowl MVP because it was like, finally, the quarterback climbed the mountain. Again, Jalen Hurts put up almost 300 yards worth of offense last night, and that's fine. That's good. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it. But was he the best individual player? Of course not. It was Josh Sweat. And Josh Sweat, to your point, is a free agent who we talked about last week, who I would think immediately jumps out to everybody, yes, but especially the Washington Commanders. But so is Zach Bond as well.
So my second point is, did Adam Peters make a mistake not drafting Cooper DeJean? Because I remember him saying, we're giving him to the Eagles like it wasn't that big of a deal. Yeah. But that guy's going to be a stud for the next 10 years for them. And he's going to burn us in the future.
I understand. Yeah, I understand. I did not feel like throughout the year it really hurt them to make that trade. I did not feel that. Cooper DeJean has flashed. Last night was the culmination and the icing on the cake, if you will. Just like I did not feel Jahan Dotson's trade to the Eagles hurt the Commanders in any sort of way. But, you know, I mean, it's hard to ignore his impact on the game last night, right? You're going to have to live with some of that. And this is why teams don't trade in the division. You're going to have to live with some of that. What you have to hope for, just real quickly, is that Sandra still is better than he was this year. He was pretty good this year. And Sinnott is really the crown jewel, if you will. If Sinnott turns into, you know, a 80 catch per year, 750, 800 yard per year, 6-7 touchdown guy, then the Commanders won that trade, even though Cooper DeJean had his moment.
Yeah, I was really upset. Finally, the only reason I tuned in was to see Taylor, and they only showed her once or twice. I mean, I don't understand that. Why? You know, they should show her when Kansas City's losing as well as winning, in my opinion.
Kevin, you like to rub it in. You're a conspiracy theorist. I like you. I like how your devious mind is working. I mean, it wasn't enough for you when they booed her after putting her on the video board.
They showed all the other stars. I guess they wanted to spread the wealth, but that's bad form. If you're a football fan and you watch every game and you see all these elites get prime seats, you're like,
oh, of course.
Why can't I be at the Super Bowl? Why do they? They're not fans of football.
Because you're not Bradley Cooper and you're not Taylor Swift and you're not anybody with zeros after your name in your bank account. That's why. Appreciate you. It's a good call. It's a good call. Fun. Made me laugh. I like good, fun calls. 159, Team 980, more of your calls coming up on the other side of 2 o'clock. Plus, how close are the Commanders to the Philadelphia Eagles? Next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Ah. Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.